Holy shit. I don't know how true this is, because I'm only going by headlines. I just saw that they were going to request a $1.5 trillion military budget. $1.5 trillion. I thought it was a huge deal when we just passed, I think, $1 trillion ask. I don't remember if that was under the last years of Biden or if it was the first year of this Trump admin. Holy, $90 billion.
I don't want to get you demonetized, but that is low key. How much money they're asking for.
It's ungodly. That's just an insane, that's just crazy. I don't know why, and by the way, this will happen. I don't know how old you are, but in 2 to 3 years,
I'm 30.
You're going to hear over and over and over again about how we got about, how many times did you hear these losers talk about balance the budget, inflation, government spending, balance the budget, and what the happens when they get in? These guys spend like a grandma whose health insurance has ran out, who's on a bingo hall. These are spending money on everything. It's insane. Tons of money to ICE, tons of tax cuts everywhere, tons of money to the military. Like, it's wild.
They're cutting the medical programs to do it, though, right? Like Medicare.
I think they floated that idea,
but fund the war.
That's not gonna happen. I don't think they'll have the popular support to do it, would be my guess. But yeah, I don't know, man.
But like the spending they want to do on the war, though, that will be borne on the taxpayers. So absolutely, though, right?
It has
like,
to be, yeah. I just don't think they're going to cut any Medicare or anything, because I think the American people would lose their minds. But that just means it's going to be even more and more to the deficit, right? Like, there's a chance that by the time we come out, like 33% or maybe half even of the U.S. debt is because of Trump. Like, it's just crazy. That's just insane.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I'm in my 30s now. I wasn't really super political when I was younger. I watched a little bit of news from both sources. I don't really watch Fox at all, because Fox is just absolute dog shit of news. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. There's only one person on Fox News that I can actually kind of respect, and I think that's what's her name, Jessica Tarlov, because she's not a MAGA suck on their network.
Isn't she the liberal, the standing liberal they've got?
Yeah. I'll give her credit. She actually at least called. She's at least decent. I'm not gonna say she's perfect.
Although she's literally brought in to be the liberal to disagree with them, but not to take away from her. I do appreciate her position there, but yeah.
But it's terrible. What Trumpism and MAGAism's done to a lot of my family, older people, my grandparents, they're brainwashed by Fox News. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and I've heard this complaint way more than I did in the first Trump term, in terms of people losing family members to just absolutely unhinged, insane shit, and there's just no coming back for any of it. Yeah,
but everything the president's campaigned on, he said I remember watching his speeches. I watch his speeches so I can have the facts to back up with what I say sometimes with him. But he literally campaigned on no new wars.
Yeah,
he said affordability. Yeah, and then now he calls affordability a Democrat hoax. It's just he's a hypocrite of a president, and mm-hmm. I don't get how anybody justifies anything he's done and being he's doing a good job, where the gas prices are, they're over $4 in my state, and I'm not in California, and I know California, you were just there in California, so you know how much it was.
I love California. Driving back from Gainesville, now I have to put the 93 octane in, but it still was $5.40 a gallon. I was like, holy shit, we're on some,
and that's
right,
insane.
Now. There's just
and what people don't realize, well, I don't know about those people. Obviously, you do. But if the gas prices keep going up, that means diesel prices go up.
Yeah.
And transportation costs are going to keep going up.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's stupid.
And it's just I just don't see how we're going to have two more years of this. How is that going to be sustainable in this country? I don't know how much worse things are going to get. I know stuff's going to probably keep getting expensive. Do you think we see gas prices across the board at the bare minimum end up going over $5 a gallon like they did back in 2022?
I mean, the statement that I made was that we weren't going to be able to stay at this war for a month or whatever. I just don't think we could. But this administration is so stupid. I don't know.
We're already at a month.
I don't really agree with the war either. I don't know what we're going to really accomplish. We're just pissing off people. I saw Trump was flirting with the idea of pulling out of NATO, which would be absolutely terrible. I know he can't, but we'll just say he won't. It's not that he won't try, though. He's already tried stretching the laws with the executive orders he's been putting through. So he's been testing the Supreme Court. I'm surprised to see the Supreme Court have some pushback on him. That actually does surprise me, with them having a Republican majority.
Yeah,
I guess we'll see. It's just what the. like, I don't know what the fuck, like, what the fuck do I, like, I'm sitting back and watching this as American, I'm just, it just pisses me off, but, like, just, there's literally nothing I can do about it other than just observe the bullshit that we have to deal with.
Did you go out to the No Kings protest?
I did not go to the No Kings protest.
It'll work.
Not that, not that I'm against, I'm not against it, just so we're clear. I'm not, like, I'm not really a, like, a social activist kind of person or anything, really.
Well,
like,
maybe you should be.
Hey, listen, as long as you vote, okay?
Yeah, I do. I do vote. I'm a registered Democrat. I mean, I'm not going to say, like, I support every single thing that the party does or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some probably aspects of, like, the left that I don't agree with, because I'm not, like, I don't consider myself, like, a far left person, or, like, the extreme left. Yeah. But I'm not somebody like Hassan that would say, like, straight up, I'm not going to vote for, like, Gavin Newsom because he's not, he is not far left enough for me to want to support him, like, you. Mm-hmm. I also personally can't stand Hassan. I'm sorry, not sorry. I think he's a detriment to the left and, like, the Democrats in general. Like, wow. I think he does Great more tech. Harm than good.
Yeah, we agree.
I don't want to get doxxed by him, though, so, like, hopefully he doesn't figure out who I am, you know, by me saying that. Like, if he's lurking your stream or whatever, I'm just kidding.
No, he'll be okay.
I have heard he's tried to do that to people, though, so, you know, you never know.
I think it's usually people around about you, but okay.
That is, but, sure. Like... I appreciate your time, Destiny, and yeah, I definitely paid to win to get in here to talk to you. I'm not gonna lie, I subbed to the tier 3 because of that. But
good,
I don't want to, like, keep rambling. I'm a little bit autistic, so I apologize for that. But it's I'll just watch your stream. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot, everyone.
I'm starting with a question actually from a friend. Okay, so and you know, I gave him my answer, but I'd like to hear yours. So it's he was comparing this war in Iran to Vietnam. And he's saying that he thinks that because everyone's so against the war, the soldiers who fight in it, when they come back, are bound to be harassed by the citizens the way Vietnam soldiers were. I was telling him that's kind of ridiculous. I don't think things will ever go back to that. Like, after that, and after 9/11, I think we have more of a respect for our military on both sides of the aisle. But I don't know. I want to hear.
I can't make a prediction on that. I'm not sure. Although I would say that
what about, do you think we'll ever turn into that kind of society?
Well, like, so here's the issue, is I try to look at, like, where the winds are blowing. So for, like, a couple years ago, I think I said one of my kind of concerns, I and you can go find the VOD on this. I swear to God I was saying this. That, like, one of my big concerns.
No, I can't go find the VOD because he deleted them all.
Well, you. Yeah, what do you want me to say? Okay.
Yeah, well,
one, then yeah. You should just remember everything I say on stream. One of the things I would say a lot was that one thing that's really scary for the Jews right now is that the people who had the best tools to deal with anti-Semitic stuff were people on the left, because they're the ones that were primarily concerned with white supremacy and Nazis and all that. But as the left has become more and more kind of like Israel and like they're the far left, we're bending more anti-Semitic. That would be a really scary thing for the Jews if that trend continued. And I think that trend has continued. I think you're in a really weird spot today if you're a Jewish person. I think you're in a really, really weird area. I would say that arguably, I think you can see similar-ish things right now, kind of, with, like, military stuff. Like, like conservatives, or at least MAGA, are not, like, big military people. I think they have that big isolationist bend to them, which makes them, by default, kind of, like, more military skeptic. And then, you know, obviously Trump and all these people have completely abandoned the prestige of having, like, a military history background or whatever, you know, like other presidents or other elected people might. And the left obviously hates this war, and they think we support Israel, and they hate everything that we do in the Middle East. So I don't know. I think you could be in an area. I don't know if it would be as bad where we're getting, like, we're going back to Rambo movies, you know. I don't think it would ever be that bad that we hate Vietnam War vets that much, or we would hate the current vets as much as we hated Vietnam War vets. But I don't know. It's going in a worrying direction, I would say, yeah.
I think the right does hate the military nowadays more as, like, an institution. But the people, they seem to love the people no matter what, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And so I could agree that there might be something from there. And oddly enough, I kind of was thinking, if anything, it might come more from the left, unfortunately. Because, like you said, the Israel and like, kids growing up nowadays in high school, if this war goes on, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, and they start to, and they turn 18, they're able to vote, and there's an election season. I mean, like, who knows? I'd have no idea what Republicans are going to say, what Democrats are going to say to in an attempt to get elected. Like, is it going to be, oh, yeah, I'll continue to fight this war until the end? Or, like, is it going to be another Iraq? Like, I think about this shit every night, and it, like, almost makes me tear up thinking about it, because I can't deal with another war in my lifetime like this.
Buckle up.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's, shit sucks. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Shit sucks, yeah. But, I don't know where... Yeah, I don't have anything good. People are saying definitely not another Iraq, in my opinion. But the big fear that, and I keep saying this, the big fear right now, did those 1,000 Marines or those 3,000 Marines ever actually make it out there? Did that happen yet or no?
5,000.
I think they're joined there, like another.
They joined 50,000.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure there was 5,000 sent out there, but they joined up with a crew of 50,000 that are already stationed out there.
Okay. The big fear, I think.
I don't know. I might you want to look that up.
The big fear that I've been talking about a lot that would everything up would be if there was some kind of big attack by Iran that managed to kill 20 or 30 soldiers, like U.S. soldiers, then we might find ourselves stuck there for a long time, because then that's like the one thing that gets Americans super gung-ho about staying in an area for a long time. Yeah.
Well, I'm scared with this missing pilot right now. I think that could get boots on the ground, and then
for one person
he's talking about.
Maybe.
I was thinking that they were talking about a rescue mission and how they would try to go and attempt that. And I mean, like, what else do you do? You got to send people in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be like a Black Hawk Down situation.
That would just be so.
I think Iran
horrible.
Is going to be Trump's.
Iraq?
Fuck, what was it called? Yeah, well.
Or Vietnam? Iran. Or Afghanistan?
No,
or
his actual Iran again. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. My next question is completely off topic. And it's just a hypothetical in my head. So say you wanted to get rid of the vice president. Is there you can impeach the vice president, like Congress can impeach the vice president, and then Senate can convict them, and then boom, they're out.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Can you impeach the vice president?
Wait, I remember you talking on stream about impeaching cabinet members, and I didn't even know that was a thing. So,
yes, you can be impeached. Wait, can you impeach cabinet members? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. You can
Now, what about, because I was thinking about how Trump hates everybody and he wants to fire everybody. He probably wanted to fire Vance like on day one. Is there a way for the president to get rid of the vice president?
I don't think so.
I would assume not, because he's an elected.
No, because like way back in the day when it was one party and the other party, like whoever came in second place was also the vice president. Like that would make sense. Like, no, you can't get rid of the vice president. That's the only opposition you have. But nowadays it's like, yeah, but that's I ran with him, can I just like change him for Elon?
I don't think so. No,
because like, can he fire the vice president?
No shot, because the vice president doesn't serve at the pleasure of the president. He's part of the elected, he's an elected person.
Yeah, he's an elected official.
Okay. And like same, I guess, never mind. I guess he can fire cabinet members. Why is he able to fire cabinet members?
Because he's allowed, he chooses cabinet elected members. They serve at the pleasure of the president, right?
That makes sense. Okay. You ever try June Berry Red Bull?
No. Red Bull has one flavor, and all the other.
No, I know, dude. I know you like the original, bro, but you try the blue one, you'll never go back.
Okay. I'll think about it.
All right. Thank you, Perio.
Be careful.
Yep. Have a great day.
Bye.
Okay, I came on here last week. I wanted to ask another question about Iran. Destiny, do you think that Iran, like, we respect their, like, wishes enough, or do you, like, how do you feel about that?
Do you feel like we don't respect Iran's, you mean, like, the Iranian people? Or what?
More so, like, their interest in the region. Like, they have, like, a stake at the table. Like, the common quote is, like, the enemy gets a vote.
I mean, their interests are contrary to ours, so I mean, definitionally, we don't really respect, right? What?
But don't you think that we could, like, come to, like, the kind of where I'm getting at is I feel like the Israeli and the U.S. strategy on this is, like, it's to, like, kind of excise Iran in the same way that the Arab states kind of did to Israel prior to, like, the Arab coalition falling apart, and I feel like it's super unproductive, and it's just leading to a lot more people dying in the region. Not your opinion on it.
Well, I mean, like, we consider them an enemy, right? So, of course, we have contrary interests, and we try to do the opposite of what they would want, because our interests, we view them as not aligned, right?
Yeah, but kind of where I'm getting at is that, like when the USSR and the U.S., like, Gorbachev was, like, slowly tearing down, like, the Iron Curtain, like, us opening up to the, or us opening up our economy to the Soviet Union kind of helped, like, soft power, and it helped kind of stabilize Russia going out of...
Are you asking, not, like, is there, sorry, like, a way that we could be, like, friendlier towards Iran in a way to bring them into our sphere of influence rather than just, like, being aggressively, like, warmongering towards them? Is that kind of what you're asking?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. That's why I was a supporter of, like, the Iranian, like, the nuclear deal or whatever. I think stuff like that is good. I think it'd be better if we were to do that, but we obviously were not doing that, yeah.
I came on here last week and I asked you about, do you think that, you weren't really interested at the time, but do you think Iran's like strategy is kind of pragmatic from their point of view? Like, do you think that the way they defend themselves, you could justify?
I mean, from their perspective, yeah, for sure. What are we talking about in particular?
So like if your state is like, has like a constant security threat from like Israel, let's say, I feel like it would be smart for you to kind of lessen the burden a little bit and start getting these proxies out there to fight them as well.
But yeah, sure. Like, I mean, I'm firmly a believer. It's hard to, like, in my mind, like, I think, I do believe that, like, terrorism is a perspective. I think it's kind of silly to pretend that terrorism is a thing that's very easily defined as just being good guy or bad guy based on the actions you do. I think it very much comes down to, like, there's going to be some differentiation in strategies, but, like, for the most part, I think terrorism is just a perspective of whose side are you on. So, like, it makes sense that they do what they do. Like, I would expect them to do as much, yeah.
There's, like, a cliche, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. But do you think that some of the UF strikes have gone as far as terrorism? Like, I think it was the B-1 bridge they blew up near Tehran?
Do you think that the United States has engaged in terrorism? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like, some of the strikes, like, are getting kind of excessive. I think the death toll from Iranian civilians is, like, 2,500 at this point from the strikes.
I would, like, have to know more.
Are we doing terrorism?
I don't know the particulars of what we've done for the Iran stuff, just because politics is very boring right now with this administration. But, like, the current administration is operating in, like I would say, a worse than terrorist manner. So, like, I would say that, like, your best actors would be state actors that are adhering to international law. And then your next best would be non-state actors that are adhering to international law. And then your second worst would be non-state actors that are not adhering to international law. So these are like your Hamas, your ISIS, your Al-Qaeda, whatever else. But your worst actors, I would say, are people that are state actors that are not adhering to international law, because they can commit acts of terrorism, but they can do it with the full force and the full authority and the full backing of, like, an entire nation state. So when the United States of America, for instance, I would say, like, double tapping the Venezuelan boats or whatever, that's like, those are blatant acts of war/acts of terrorism. I don't know if you call them acts of war, because they're literally on civilians, right? Even if they're drug dealers, these are civilians, not like military people. So all that to say, I don't have a position right now on whether the attacks on Iran that the U.S. have done, if they've engaged in terrorist attacks, but just because I haven't read about it. But it wouldn't surprise me, because the current administration, like, embraces terrorist tactics. Like, you literally had our the DOD head Hegseth, I'm sorry, the Department of War head Hegseth, literally said, "We're going to give no quarter," which is, like, definitionally, like, anti rules of war. So yeah, that, yeah. I think the current U.S. behavior for military action is
because
deplorable.
Right now,
what?
Right now, there's, I feel like there's two big movements in the world. I feel like there's the Chinese-Russians kind of world order being formed, and I feel like the American on the other. And I feel like every stupid thing that Trump does is just, like, tearing down that world order, and it's getting really scary, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah, your mic is cutting out a little bit again. Sorry, but...
Sorry, I'll leave after this. Just another thing, just to put in perspective, like, how crazy the Iran is. In 1 month of fighting, we've lost 6 fixed-wing aircraft. In the, I think it was 9 years of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, we lost 24. It is kind of crazy, the level of assets we have in the region right now. But thank you for your time, Destiny. I appreciate you.
Yeah, have a good one, man.
Have a good one.
So, Steven, have you heard of this thing called chronic Lyme disease?
Good one. Okay, what about it? Or what do you want?
For sure. So, like, what causes Lyme disease?
Ticks.
I don't know 100%. I think, is it a bacteria? Yeah, usually it's carried by ticks.
Yep. Yeah, it is a bacteria carried by ticks, for sure. Do you know which bacteria it is? This is a trick question.
Yeah, I think it's called... it's a species of the Borrelia bacteria, yeah.
Yeah, it's named after you, Mr. Borrelia. Borrelia.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, good one.
Is that the meme? That's it?
No. So there's, like, actually, like, a dozen different, like, flavors of bacteria. Like, it's a whole genus that causes it. Okay. Do you know, like, what toxin they make?
No, I don't know the answer to any of this. What, no. What, yeah, I get the point. It? What's the point?
Sure. Like, I don't know. Like, you take a lot of shots. Like, I understand that there's a disproportionate amount of, like terminally online white women that weaponize, you know, like multi-systemic inflammatory like disorders to, you know, like escape accountability. But there's also a bunch of like alt health, like right wing group, like grifters that are exploiting people. And yeah, I don't know, I guess, you know, not to do the be nice meme, but you know, like, couldn't you attack the, like, RFK and, like, the measles?
What are we talking about?
And
what is the point of this conversation? Wait, what? What are we? I don't know what we're talking about right now.
You have said, like, several times that, like, oh, like, chronic Lyme disease is fake.
Correct.
That, like, you
yes.
know, like,
chronic Lyme disease is not a real thing. Correct. Yes.
What do you mean?
There's no such thing as chronic Lyme disease. You don't get a Lyme disease or Lyme disease infection once, and then it remains hidden in your body in a chronic form that causes all of these untraceable symptoms for the rest of your life. That's not a real thing.
That's not what.
That okay. is what so, chronic Lyme so disease is. You can have Lyme disease, and you can also have untreated Lyme disease that causes complications that can go untreated for a long time and have issues, or whatever. But the
you can't have post treatment Lyme disease like syndrome.
No.
No, like so.
Or rather, okay, it is the position of the medical community all across the world that that's not a real thing. So
you can go look up on the Mayo Clinic right now, like you know, like they don't call it chronic Lyme disease because like that term has been like bastardized by the alt health community. But yeah, there is the bacteria doesn't make any toxin. Like most of the damage that happens is just your immune system fighting it and up and hitting like off target sites. Like it's not poisoning you like in and of itself. Like it's your own system that gets like, you know, weaponized to fuck you up. And like, you know, like if you're predisposed to, you know, autoimmune and you have this occurrence of, you know, like that can trigger it. Like I feel like that's not entirely out of the like scope of reason here.
Okay, but then we're not talking about chronic Lyme disease. We're talking about something else, right?
Well, yes, we are. Like, you know, like, again, like, to the layperson, yes, we are. Like, yeah, like, I got Lyme disease. I didn't notice for, like, you know, like 8 to 16 weeks. And then, like, yeah, I have some, like, longer-lasting symptoms, like, even though, you know, it's all gone. Like, I'm still, you know, like, I don't really feel like I'm entirely back to 100% again. Like,
sure. My understanding is that any viral infection has a chance of causing kind of like long lasting damage, depending on the severity of the infection and a whole bunch of other variables known and unknown in the human body. So like when people talk about long COVID, I think I've heard that people characterize that as like a form of basically it's like a chronic fatigue syndrome. And these are things that just sometimes the body, for whatever reason, can respond poorly to viral or bacterial infections. And sometimes it can leave like these like lasting conditions or damage in the body or whatever. My understanding is that is a real thing that people understand. They don't know exactly where it comes from, but that's different than chronic Lyme disease. Like there are people who will say they have chronic Lyme disease who've never even had Lyme disease before. They don't even know if they've ever been bit by a tick before. They just, it's like, what's the other thing? Fibromyalgia or whatever, where they just have like these syndromes of being tired and kind of, but not really. They're just kind of like getting old or whatever else. Like that's a different thing than like, if you have Lyme disease, and then you get your treatment or whatever, I'm sure there can be somebody linked to your, like, I just look at this medical clinic thing. I'm sure there could be like long-term negative impacts or whatever that come after that. Much the same, or maybe it's a little bit worse for Lyme disease, but like, I know this happens with other, even like bad bouts of like the flu can leave like lasting damage, I think, in the lungs and everything else. But this is a different thing than chronic Lyme disease, which is coming from people who've never even had like a Lyme disease diagnosis before.
Are you saying that literally everyone who says they have chronic Lyme disease has never had Lyme disease before?
First of all, it would be impossible if you know that. And then statistically speaking, that's almost never going to be the case. I'm sure some of them have, but most of them, yeah, don't need like to be even diagnosed with Lyme disease to say that they have chronic Lyme disease. Like it's not a thing. This is not like a diagnosis they're getting from a real doctor, at least.
Sure. And like, again, like I'm not talking about those people. Like what I'm talking about is like people who like didn't notice that they like had a tick on them for several weeks, like got Lyme disease. And like now their, you know, life is a little bit shittier. You know, like,
I don't
because
know if
they
that's...
had...
Well, one, I don't know if, can a tick be on you for more than a day or two?
Yes.
Are you sure?
It's probably pretty rare because they gorge.
Yeah, I thought once a tick has been on you for like a day or two, I thought those motherfuckers get huge.
They usually drop off, yeah.
Sure. They usually like, eat too much. Again, like I'm trying to gesture to you a pretty, you know, like specific case here of, you know, like someone who's like unlucky, you know, and like, you know, like the worst case scenario, right? yeah, like, you know, like you have a tick on you, like, you know, it should fall off within like 2 days, and it's actually on there for like 3 or 4. And sure. Then you don't notice like the, you know, like the big rash because it's in a place that like you can't see all the time. I don't know if
that's the thing that is correlated with like having these like post-treatment Lyme disease is just having the infection for a long time, right? Is it?
That's not the only like risk factor. Like, I'm just bringing up like a case of someone like, you know, who's, you know, gonna feel hurt, you know, when you're saying that like, oh no, it's totally fake. Anyone who says they have it is like totally like lying.
But you're not talking about, this is not chronic Lyme disease though, then. You're talking about like a thing that sounds like it's like a real thing, right?
I mean, you've kind of, you're like begging the question here, right? You know, like you're defining like chronic Lyme disease as like, oh, like these are people who have never been diagnosed, never had Lyme disease. Like, you know,
generally speaking, that's what it, like, okay. Do you think that like,
yeah, generally speaking,
do you think chiropractic works? Like, do you think chiropractic medicine is a thing that works?
So there are like two major schools, like most chiropractors go like 80% of them go to one school. Sorry, I forget the names right now. They go to one school and it's like pretty like not good, but there is like some amount of like evidence-based like chiropractic.
There's
like,
not. You know, to be clear, there's absolutely not. But so I can't even use this analogy, but the analogy I was going to use is like, if somebody were to go and get like, I'm sure there are some symptoms that can be alleviated. If you have just like tense muscles or whatever, you go to a chiropractor and you get some kind of like adjustment or massage type thing that, it'll make you feel better. But like, if somebody says, okay, well, so then like, would you call out these people for saying that they thought that chiropractic works? I would say, yeah, it wasn't chiropractic. You just got like a massage or something. Like, that's why it worked. I wouldn't give them credit for doing a chiropractic thing. The same way that if somebody has some post-treatment Lyme disease related thing, I wouldn't associate that at all. And I wouldn't even call that chronic Lyme disease, because the people that have chronic Lyme disease oftentimes will never even have a diagnosis of Lyme disease. I don't even think they've ever even seen the rash. Like, they'll say some ticks are so common, and you know, I think you can get a tick on you, and then I had the tick and it must have fallen off, and I, you know, the rash disappeared, but I have chronic Lyme disease. Like, I don't even have the original disease.
Yes, I understand that, like, most of the people who claim to have that, like, you know, like, are probably wrong.
So then why would you, it's always just vague, it's like Gulf War syndrome or whatever, it's just vague, like, tired, sore, whatever. But why would you group yourself in with those people by calling anything, like, some post-treatment thing you have, why would you call that chronic Lyme disease?
Because again, like, I'm talking about just a normal person of like average or less intelligence, you know, who's just like, oh, I got Lyme disease and it was f***ing up for a while, and now then I got treatment and like I don't really like feel like myself again, and like, you know, like chronic Lyme disease like is, you know, like the kind, you know, if they're going to use any sort of advanced vocabulary for this, like, that's going to be the first thing they,
yeah, but that's wrong, it's not a correct term, it's not chronic because you don't have Lyme disease for a long period of time. This is some bodily response or post-treatment. It's not like the bacteria is like secretly harbored inside, yes, your body somewhere, which it kind of sounds like the implication for like a chronic bacterial infection or whatever.
Yes. And like, again, I'm talking about like a normal person who doesn't have, you know, who is.
Well, then I would just critique them on the term. Don't use that term. It's stupid. And I will attack people who talk about chronic Lyme disease because most of it is
Like, how often are you actually seeing this, though, dog? Like
I don't see it that often because I don't deal with this stuff anymore. But if you dive back into like the COVID spaces, it's not as rampant anymore because now apparently, maybe I'm over-indexing or just watching Michaela Peters, and now they've shifted to obsessing about mold everywhere. And I see people talking about mold and microplastics and beef tallow or whatever the fuck else. But yeah, this is like one of the rotating claims of stupid alternative health that is rotting my country. RFK Jr. is the head of my.
yes, and again,
HHS, like health or whatever.
Yeah,
not
CDC.
So like,
HHS, or not FDA, yeah, HHS. Yeah.
So look, I'm not trying to be here to do like the, you know, like the be nicer meme, but like again, like when you're attacking people who are getting taken advantage of, like, you know, like best case scenario, like why not attack the people who are selling them the rather than like,
I would
the victims
I
of the
by
scam.
Saying chronic Lyme disease. You shouldn't listen to the people that die. Nobody, I don't even think you can get, I'm sure there are some doctors that'll do it. There are doctors that'll give you ivermectin
for
cancer. Yeah,
yeah, but like, so I've heard you say this a couple of times. However, it's not phrased like that. Like, you know, like, it's not like, oh, hey, anyone who tells you that you might have like chronic Lyme disease, you know, like they're lying. It's, you know, anyone who says that they have like chronic Lyme disease is, you know,
well, some
like
of these people will literally self-ID as having chronic Lyme disease because they read about it online. They don't even get a diagnosis or anything. Even from a, they don't even go to a quack doctor. They just read shit online and like, oh yeah, I think I have chronic Lyme disease.
Yeah, sure. I'm here to advocate for the people who, you know, like who have long term effects, you know, as a result of a Lyme disease like infection. And you know,
well, let's get those people on. Let's get them in here. That's what I want to hear. I want them to come in and cry about it.
Any Lyme disease havers in chat? All right.
Okay. I will keep this in mind, okay?
You flattened him.
Hey, what's good, Destiny? What's good, Mr. Mookin?
How's it going?
Wait, why do I feel like I recognize your name? Have we talked before?
You talked last week.
I'm the email guy.
Oh, hi, what's up?
Yeah, I didn't expect to be first in line, but I do have a few things to talk about. They're kind of all contents of the email release. Did you manage to take a peek at it?
Listen, you sent me like a 45-page email, motherfucker.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just felt like the need to squeeze everything in it. Maybe I should I have done it piecemeal?
You should have written an autobiography, okay, and then publish it. Or post on the subreddit. I ain't got time to read your 50-page emails, and you use a lot of caps lock and bold characters and italics. You might be schizophrenic. I'm like 50-50 on that right now, but go ahead. Hit me up. What you got?
Yeah, okay. So, I do have a few disagreements, like, particularly on the Hassan thing.
Okay.
Like, why do you think that, like, Hassan has, like, these... Like, you keep saying that, like, he keeps acting kind of like how Trump does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you think that is?
It's a lot of, like, you never defend the position that you have. You only engage in personal or pivot attacks against your enemies. You avoid any sort of critical confrontation for your ideas. You exclusively sit inside your kind of algorithmically generated community in your algorithmically protected hug boxes. And then, was there a third one? Those are the two big things. Oh, and then third thing is like sloganeering. You kind of like pick these like positions and you just sit on them forever, even if they're kind of like vapid or empty. So for Hassan, it's been like an obsession with Israel over the past 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Counterpoint. Have you ever considered that maybe he behaves in the same kind of the same way like Trump does because he is also like a narcissist type? And they share that particular vector. Like, I don't know, maybe it's because like this is something that I am able to pick up on, but like the way that Hassan behaves is a lot kind of like how a narcissist that is, that even like the Kaya thing, like that is the best, like, I don't know, recent
yeah
event.
I mean it could, yeah it could be, I guess. I haven't really thought about it from that perspective, but it could be, sure.
Yeah, like even the Mossad and like what Israel agent thing, like that sounds to me a lot like narcissist deflection tactic. Kind of like that's the similarity. Whenever he says Mossad, I immediately think about like when Trump does the TDS thing.
Sure.
Like the TDS, whatever nonsense.
Oh, and they have like HDS now, Hassan derangement syndrome, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just that's kind of like a Darvo tactic, and narcissists love doing that. Why? Because, first of all, they don't have to admit any sort of wrongdoing. And second of all, they redirect, refocus, reframe themselves as, like, the ones that are being harassed.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it could be that. I tend to avoid, like, analyzing people in ways that I don't think are conducive to whatever my goal is, I guess, or whatever. So, like, I try, unless it's, like, really important or for some reason I think there's something to be gained out of it, I generally don't do, like, the psychological analysis of people just because it doesn't change much. So, like... Like, if I think about it, I think I probably agree with everything you're saying. I think Hassan is probably, like, fairly narcissistic, but I don't know how much that would change, like, how I would engage with him or how I would analyze his behavior or anything.
Well, the sociopathic thing to do here would be try to, like, exploit that flaw in his character and, like, to undermine him.
How would you exploit something like that? I'm curious.
That's kind of difficult to do. It's not something that's, like, very easy. You kind of have to force, like, the narcissist into a corner where there is no defensible position, where all of his deflection tactics just don't work anymore. That's one way to do it, but, like, it's kind of difficult, really, because, I mean, you would have to be, like, I don't know, like, a master of, like, understanding the psychology of the person and to try to, like... match it and like undermine him. I don't know, like
I feel like it's also a lot more difficult when there's a lot of psychology right now, but I'm like, if a narcissist is surrounded by a bunch of people that are willing to affirm their narcissism, I feel like that's, it also makes it more difficult. Like, I think as a narcissist would get like isolated in their real world as they lose friends and support structures, it would become harder and harder. But for somebody in the world of politics, you kind of have like this pre-built community that's predisposed to like you for a certain reason and possibly be incentivized even to overlook certain flaws. So, I mean, I feel like it would be harder. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, funnily enough, when you said and trying to shut themselves a lot more in, you know who else is like that?
Trump?
Yeah, but also Asmongold. Like, that's kind of why that guy, whenever he is being put in the position where, like, he's not seen as the, like, God gamer or, like, whatever the second coming of Christ at playing video games, that's why he quits them. Like, that's the one thing
true.
That, like, has
struck. Yeah, that's why his second channel popped up and he got really ass-pained at.
Yeah,
was
exactly.
Was it Dark Souls 3 or was it Elden Ring or something? Yeah, maybe,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was in that time period and, like, I remember exactly the way that he behaved. Like, whenever people were pushing on the bald or, like, him being seen as frail, like, that's the reason why he kind of took those breaks, is because his ego was hurting severely. Like, he is, I don't know, like, I guess the vulnerable type. The vulnerable types are usually the ones that are, like, more prone to, like, fragility. They're kind of insecure. That's also why he keeps blabbering about, like, World of Warcraft is woke. We used to be masculine. It's because that's an insecurity that he is portraying. He might not be aware of it, but, like, he is so insecure. Whenever he says that, like, oh, we used to have, like, sweaty men fighting and all that other shit, that's just masking his frail body insecurity that he has. And, like, he has expressed that insecurity, maybe unaware of what he was saying throughout the years. Like, this is something that he has done consistently, like, at least since 2018. But I guess people just don't pick up on it.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Leaving the Asmongold thing
What?
Okay. He was voted to be kicked by chat, but you obviously can override that.
Sure, do one more.
All right.
I'm gonna vote again after. Yeah, so, go ahead.
Why do you think that, like, Hassan keeps assuming the position of, like, always going against the U.S.?
Why, like, do I think he always... Well, I guess from an ideological standpoint, that's where his community... That's, like, the ideological movement that he's a part of is, right? Is a commitment to anti-capitalist, anti-Western, anti-lowercase liberalism type ideas. And the U.S. is, like, represents the head of that. So, I mean, naturally, you would take an anti-U.S. position on almost anything.
Okay.
That's, like, doing it from... That's just analyzing from ideology and ignoring psychology or personal investment of anything, but yeah.
Yeah, the way that I wanted to pivot is I think that that's part of the reason why he always assumes that, like, position is because I think it's genuinely from, like, a emotional, selfish standpoint. Like, he has convinced himself that, like, whatever the U.S. has done on the path to, like, becoming a hegemon was wrong, and he tries to, like... I don't know, I guess, kind of, like, break that, like, I don't know, the success of the United States. And so he has to essentially always assume positions that are, against what he sees as, like, the moral wrong. I guess he does it.
Wait, I don't understand. Can you, explain that again? I didn't understand that.
I think he comes from, like, a emotional selfishness type of point where he personally feels like the U.S. has gone unpunished for its past transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to see it punished. So he always assumes positions that are contrary to, like, to the U.S.'s, even though he kind of twists himself into a pretzel by always assuming these positions. And then he also has to defend them somehow, which, like, ends up as, like, a mess. It's a complete mess the way that he, like, goes about it. All of this because he genuinely thinks that what the U.S. has done is wrong, and he genuinely believes that two wrongs make a right. Like, as if it's going to, like, grant him some sort of, like, peace of mind.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily an irrational position. If you feel like a thing has done something wrong that they haven't been held accountable for, you would push for some kind of accountability. That's not necessarily...
Yeah.
right?
Well, yes, but the problem is he goes about this with like the attitude of like sins of the father, as in like punishing current US because of something they've done in the past, because he cannot go to the past to punish them then when they were doing like the wrong thing.
Sure. Which okay. Is, yeah. Sure.
I think that approach is completely deranged.
I think it's bad. Yeah, like, for sure. I feel like that's a fairly commonish human thing, though, where people view like a bad,
well,
like
yeah.
Progressives in general, I think, had this issue when it came to stuff like slavery or whatever else, where it's like, oh, like the U.S. did slavery, therefore, you know, like there's this huge burden that the United States needs to carry for all black people and for however long because of, you know, because of these past transgressions.
Yeah, it's kind of coded in the human nature. Like, this is not even just something that's, like, only to humans. Like, when, for example, there are experiments on, like, monkeys. Like, one monkey gets a mango, and then the other one doesn't. And, like, the other monkey gets upset, throws a temper tantrum. It's kind of, like, intrinsic to the human nature. But we should, I don't know, I think that we should strive to rise above it and, like,
yeah,
accept the past grievances.
Yeah, I agree
with like,
that, of
course. Devolve into Hassan's leftist, whatever nonsense thing that he is on right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although, I mean, I would say this is not unique to Hassan. I think, unfortunately, that's a pretty common thing. But, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. If I could say one more thing.
Yeah, one more. Go for it.
Yeah. It's the fact that, like, I feel like you should not engage with, like, right-wing narrative pushing. Like, whenever you are trying to, like, I don't know, fight to, like, unfuck America... the one thing that I can say from like my extremist right-wing past, you should never engage with like things that I personally view as like bait. Like, for example, there is this 4D like chess trap thing that like some of the conservatives and more intellectual like conservatives play when they say something like the tolerant left. That is a very obvious bait. Why? I mean, personally, the way that I see it is they are essentially baiting you into, like, challenging the position that they are assuming, which is that you are not tolerant, and you are essentially forcing yourself into a corner by taking the premise that, like, you should even go against the idea that, like, the liberal... liberals are tolerant, so you argue for the liberals being tolerant, which only serves is that they are being painted as like the actual tolerance, and they win by like exploiting these types of traps. Like, that's the one thing that I've seen you fall into.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. This is like a whole thing. At some point, I'll do some intentional effort into thinking about this. But there's like a whole way of approaching conversations when you're doing politics. It's just like, I just don't have that feeling at all. Like, when I hear somebody say a thing, like, my inclination is always to kind of like address or fight on the point. But then I'll see other people, and
I
say it on stream, and it almost feels like I'm joking, but I'm really not. I like, to some extent, I am a little bit jealous of people who will say, like, somebody will say, like, don't you think it's horrible that Trump raped 7 children? And they're like, that conservative's response will be, I think that trans people in bathrooms is horrible. Why do you defend trans women, little boys? And then all of a sudden, you're like, I've never even supported this. And like, this doesn't even happen. And like, the inclination is always to fight on the point. But some people have this like very natural inclination to just like pivot on every, like Hassan actually did it yesterday. We were listening to him talk about when some girl was asking about a comment he made. I don't remember which one it was. But then at the end, he was like, what was the question she asked? And then he was like, do you support the genocide? Like, he switched. He somehow at the end, he kept following, but like, does this mean you support the genocide? Was it him saying, is it denying the rapes for October 7th or something? But yeah,
I
was like,
I think
Jesus.
It was October 7th.
Yeah.
The topic of the UN's report of sexual violence committed by Hamas came in, and I think your exact words were, I don't care about the rapes. Would you mind explaining why you said that?
Yeah, I said, it doesn't matter whether sexual violence took place on October 7th or not. That doesn't change the dynamic for me around genocide. And that's still something that I stand by. It's a quote that people try to weaponize against me with regular frequency. But I don't think you would disagree with that sentiment, right? Do you feel like sexual violence happening is a justification for genocide?
No, I don't. But I also think, like, in a room where there's future prosecutors and public defenders that are going to go into victims' advocacy, purporting that it's that you don't care about sexual violence happening is very dangerous.
Okay, but now that you understand the context of it, you understand what I was saying, right?
Because
there was a person who was actually claiming that that there was no evidence for sexual violence taking place at all, and the argument in the much broader context was me saying whether or not sexual violence has taken place does not change the dynamic of, or does not justify genocide taking place. I think that's a fairly reasonable critique, right? Or, I don't know, do you think Israel committed a genocide? Maybe you have an issue with that as well.
He's such a pussy! Oh, the mono issue on a subject he knows nothing about. For the 7 people on the planet that know anything about this conflict or give a fuck about it, the only clip you should ever spam with them over and over again is Hassan finding out, like, 2 years after October 7th, what the the Western Wall was. That should be the only, like, this is the only thing you need to know that this is a deeply unserious person.
So victims are collateral damage in pursuit of the greater good.
Do you think Israel committed a genocide? If you don't mind me asking.
Well, why aren't you staying on topic on the question
True.
That
this
I asked
you? This is the topic.
You no,
asked me a
it's
question.
Not.
I'm asking you so we can have a normal conversation. Do you think Israel committed a genocide?
So we can have a normal conversation? I need you to answer this question right the now so that I can please God. Try to basically poison the well on everything you're going to say. Please.
I also think that minimizing rape is wrong.
Do you think that the sexual
supposed
violence
rapes
taking place on October 7 would justify Israel's a genocide, or do you think genocide is unjustifiable?
I think it's...
Is genocide ever justifiable?
It's not a dichotomy.
Okay. So where do we go from here?
He's such a moron, dude. Yeah, I don't have that as like a very foreign. That's this thing I have to like intentionally work out to improve on now.
Yeah, that's because it's in the extremist best interest, in particular the right wing interest. They don't say truths. Their truths are just narratives. That's
sure.
how they win.
Yeah.
They push, and you can't.
And you just have to repeat
win.
The same story over and over again, and it's not like a factual argument. Yeah, I understand.
He's like a concrete example of this narrative pushing and how to like fight it, so that you have a concrete example of this. Like, for example, whenever they say like the party of law and order, what's your first instinct? Like, what do you first think when they paint themselves as like the party of law and order?
I mean, I want to fight on the. I mean, they're clearly not the party of law and order. Like, and then I go through all the things that Trump is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. But the point that they are implying, and it's something that a lot of people, like I've asked a lot of people in the server and a lot of other places, what do they think it means? There's an implication when they say party of law and order. And that implication means
that
everyone that
are
is
lawless and orderless.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that everyone else that is not associated with them is anarchical, they're communists, they are to be targeted. Like, this is a narrative that they push. So, a better way to go about this particular law and order, like, patriotic way, is not to, like, show up at a protest with, like, flags of Mexico or, like, I don't know, some other place, like, or Canadian flags or, like, whatever. You are just giving them the W that they are trying to push. You are giving them the narrative W. The better approach to this would be to show up to the protests all in like American flags. You are thus pushing against their narrative with your own narrative that no, you are the patriot in that particular protest, and like you flood the entire protest with like American flags so that they cannot go with like the narrative that you are unpatriotic and like can build their base to go off of to essentially gain the general consensus to gain political power.
Sure.
That's kind of an example that I can like bring up
in this
particular example. It's one thing that I kind of wish that you, like, I don't know, do some introspection perhaps to sure. like, I do want you to win. Like, I do want you to win this battle of like narratives and ideologies or like whatever the fuck. So I think that this is something that maybe you should like take a bit into consideration.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Christy.
Thanks a lot. All right. Take care,
man. Thanks for the chat, man.
Yeah.
See you around.
So my name is Josh. I'm a coordinator with Digital Ground Game, and as well as the DC lead and the lead of the DGG Action Award. So for those of you who don't know what Digital Ground Game is, we're an organization founded by members of the DDG community to connect digital politics to real-world action. We believe new media, such as yourself, Stephen, are powerful, but only if it moves people off of their couches and into real life. We want to mobilize the community into meaningful real-world impact. And real quick, before we hop into the action ward, there is one thing that, you know, we're starting our canvassing effort for 2026, and we have an interest form. So I'm going to send that in stream in the chat, and if you could send that out on the stream, that would be great. I am here today with Luke and Jack, okay, who are receiving this action award because they founded, helped to found and are on leadership of a group called redistrict.co, which is one of the main three groups and the first group founded to try to redistrict Colorado for the 2028 elections. And the inciting incident to this was actually a post on the DGG subreddit. And that's what inspired this whole organization to start and this movement. Winners receive a pinned Reddit post, a Discord shout out, featured article in the Pragmatic Papers, and a stream appearance. With that, I would like to turn it over to Luke and Jack, who are going to talk about some Colorado redistricting.
Sweet. Yeah, so first and foremost, thank you to DDG for presenting the award, being awesome and organizing this. My name is Jack. I'm the secretary for our Colorado CoERA, which is Colorado Early Redistricting Response Act. So pretty much, we'll get into our goal in a minute. I just want to say I've been an avid member of the community for better part of 10 years now, probably, so ever since that Jesse Lee Peterson interview. Mm-hmm. And pretty much I was in the formative years of my life, back then. And through this stream, all the brain rot that I've been able to get from all your wonderful takes, and then like also real world, taking debate classes and stuff, I kind of gravitated towards politics, economics, and the law. I just graduated from University of Colorado with my economics and my political science degree. Cool. Now I'm about to go to law school. Trump is over my political politics everywhere, economics everywhere, and the law everywhere. So I just want to fuck him back. So that's why I'm here.
Okay.
Luke?
So I'm the media manager for CoERA here. I'll go through a bit of our early history, and then we'll kind of dive into the process. Been some new developments just this week in Colorado, so we can talk about that a bit.
Okay.
So, right. And this was kind of just our initial motivation, everybody watching the stream. I'm sure we saw what happened in Texas, where Trump basically just called Abbott and demanded more seats so that he could do whatever the heck he wants, right? I don't think he even has any plan to help the Republican Party here. It's just whatever Trump wants.
And since then, it's been Florida, it's been Ohio, it's been Missouri. Like, these all have like their own redistricting. I'm sure as you're familiar with. Well, how familiar are you with the redistricting nationwide? Like the battle that's been going on.
And what, like across all the states or in a particular one?
Across all the states. Have you been keeping up with it?
Like a little bit, but not in particular, no.
Okay. Well, as we'll show, we're looking to have a very slim majority in the House, either way you cut it. So we'll jump into it. Yeah.
Yeah, we have some maps we can show in a second here, just kind of show the current status and why Colorado is so important. But rewinding a little bit, so it all started with a post on the Destiny subreddit. A young guy named Jorge, he had a draft measure called the Defensive Gerrymander Guard Act, DGG Act. It's kind of our initial name there. But he needed a second Colorado voter to make it work. And so this is kind of the entire process. So initially, we were going to try to just own the whole thing all the way through, including signature collection and everything. The core steps are, first, you need the ballot initiative. Then you need to get it past the title board. They do some like legal checks, make sure it's a single issue, because that's a requirement for any kind of constitutional amendment or initiative like this. And then it goes to the signature collection stage. And if you get enough signatures, then it's on the ballot. So
cool.
We have some mainstream orgs.
Do you have an idea? Is this like similar from state to state, or do you think this is like highly specific to Colorado?
So I think it would be fairly similar. Some things are specific, like the single object laws. Like basically, they want to make sure that there's each initiative is only focused on a single change, and it's like easy to understand.
Sure.
Those things are kind of specific to Colorado.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and we got some early attention here from some of just the local press. So I'll play a short clip from one of the kind of big local news organizations here. Like if you talk to people in Colorado, they'll probably point to this 9 News as just a basic source of info.
Then something curious happened here. It was a filing for a defensive gerrymander guard act that came in late Sunday night. If this idea was passed by the state legislature or approved by voters, it would allow the Democrats who control every lever of politics in Colorado to skirt our independent redistricting process and do a purely political redraw of the map.
You can probably hear some skepticism there.
Sure.
And most of that just comes from people who like support that the independent commission.
Okay.
Jack, did you want to get into that a bit more?
Yeah, so like the ironic thing is, right, like Trump has been literally over every facet of society here. Mm-hmm. Even this local news organization that we just showed off, 9 News, it's like the quintessential local news for Colorado, like Luke was saying. And Trump has pretty much said that he's in talks to buy 9 News. I think that's actually since gone through. So to merge with a bunch of other news stations in his campaign against fake news. So that's the ironic part here. So we're rapidly losing, a lot.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that was pretty early on before the mainstream state level Democratic orgs got involved in this.
Yeah.
So once they did, we kind of switched focus to more of an advocacy campaign. We've had some success with that. So this is from a happy hour event that we threw. Ended up with about 40, 45 people showed up to that just to, talk politics with us and plan next steps. So that was pretty cool.
Yep. We got it kind of introduced. There was a bunch of us around September, October, where, we saw your informal organization kind of formalizing all our bylaws and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of brought a bunch of us in the politics community. We have some former gov staffers and stuff. I've worked on a few political campaigns. I decided we would jump in and try to professionalize the process here. And ever since then we've been the social media arm of this effort in Colorado.
Cool. Okay. You said this thing was, this was just purely, it must have been just a local thing, right? You said you had 35 to 40 people show up. What percentage of them were from, outside of, I guess, any DGG-related thing? Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yeah, we're mostly I would say a good circuit. Chunk of them.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, we're getting some ground, definitely. Our social media is, taken off and kind of expanding outside of just the realm of your community and GGG in general.
Gotcha.
But there were definitely, a bunch of people there from GGG as well. So.
Yeah, I'd say maybe roughly one third was from GGG. Yeah.
That's pretty low. That's pretty good if you're getting that many other people showing up. For a local event, 40 to 45 people, that's a decent turnout for... And this was centered on just your ballot initiative? Or was this a broader...
By this point, we had shifted focus to just on redistricting statewide. So we're willing to back anybody who can make that happen.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Cool. Okay.
And let's see. So these are the sister organizations involved here. So Colorado Draws the Line. That's the big statewide group. They're the ones, you'll find their name on all the ballot initiatives. They'll be organizing local volunteers. So if you're in the Colorado area, you want to get involved, that's the name to look up.
Yep.
And Colorado for a Level Playing Field, that's the big national group. Jack, you want to jump in?
Oh, no, sorry, I cut you off. You get your best.
Just going to say, that second org is going to be where, a lot of the big national money will come from. Mm-hmm. So they'll be running some ad campaigns and that kind of thing, but there's restrictions on how they can work with local, state-level groups.
Sure.
But we're all just kind of roughly pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, and pretty much the Colorado Draws the Line is the one that's sponsored the initiatives that are currently literally we were in the call yesterday, going over the slideshow, and they just passed approved the two of the ballot measures, the initiatives,
mm-hmm.
For finalization and then signature. So on April 15th, is going to be the day where we can finally start collecting signatures for this. But we'll get into those other two initiatives in a minute. And then, yeah, the other national group is actually the one, yeah, backed by Hakeem Jeffries and like the whole nine yards. So we're all working like really good and concrete. And if you decide to like, I think we'll have a link here in a minute to sign up to volunteer for this. We're going to need as much help as we can get. We need as many signatures as we can possibly get. It requires like 124,000 and some change signatures to be able to actually get on the ballot here. It's Colorado draws the line that you'll be likely be working with because they just have they're built a lot better in terms of like being able to support those volunteers and organize those. So
okay.
And if I could just hop in and say something real quick is, you know, the importance of, you know, digital media. It was a Destiny subreddit post, right? Like on your subreddit that was the inciting incident for this, you know, this was the first organization, right, to coalesce around this. And they did so, and they have the largest social media presence right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they did so because of a Destiny Reddit post. So I think... you know, that's just an important thing to note, right? The power that these online communities have and that they can be harnessed.
Cool. Okay. I agree. Yeah. Good job. Awesome. I don't know any more adjectives.
Beast.
There you go.
Oh, let's see.
W-pilled.
Well, I just wanted to say this map kind of shows the current situation and why redistricting here is so important. So that independent commission basically just split the state right down the middle. So 4 seats for Democrats, 4 for Republicans. And if the new proposed map passes, okay, this is from their handout, and it's terrible color coding. The main thing you need to know is that District 4 on the right here is the only one that would be solidly Republican. Everything else would be solidly Democrat or super competitive. So with this map, we're pretty confident we could get 7-1. And
yep. So that would be a pickup of 3 seats, pretty much. You know, you drop 2 Republicans and you, add 2 Democrats. So
damn.
I think that genuinely, yeah. We'll get into the rest later, right, Luke? That we got the graphic or whatever. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Let's see. Okay, that's kind of some of our other advocacy work. We were actually at the state assembly last weekend handing out flyers to local politicians. Got a lot of interest for that.
Yep. We've talked to a ton of state representatives. I think something that like is really important and something that everyone should know is that like you are have so much more access to your state's representatives than you think you do is what I've learned through this process.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to the senators for Colorado. We've talked to congressional members. We've talked to a ton of state representatives, our attorney general, so on and so forth. And these small conversations, they're like not negligible in like being able to shift the balance of whatever's going on and at least at the local and state level. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, empowering yourself and those around you to get up and start doing something, I think is something that is a highlight, something that we want to highlight rather.
Okay. I agree. Yeah. Also, if you've got, I don't know how much you guys have done in terms of working with people, whatever, but doing cold calls and everything sucks like mega ass. But if you've got even like one physical meeting with a person, it makes it a lot easier to like have an actual conversation with them or follow up with an email or do a phone call or get a favor, whatever. Like meeting people in real life is really good, especially at a local level. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And they're always doing like public events. So if you could just become like a face they recognize and they know your issue, they know they're going to have to speak to it if they go out in public,
mm-hmm.
like that alone can really push things along. All right, so this is kind of the current situation here. So Colorado Draws the Line has basically set up 2 different paths forward, and they've passed 3 different ballot initiatives to support that. So the first one is 240 on the left here. That needs 55% voter approval, and it would just be a temporary map. So basically exactly the same as what California did, with Prop 50. And then it would go right back to the independent commission. So it's just kind of a middle ground, but the major roadblock there is just hitting that 55% margin because there's going to be a lot of public opposition to this coming from Republicans. We can talk more about that in a bit. And then the second option would actually change the legal status of that independent commission, basically take them out of the Constitution and just make it a statute. So at that point, it's easier to change. And then 242, the second part of that would be implementing a temporary map for 28 and 30.
Gotcha.
So same as 240. I was going to ask, though, so like, I know that you've made the argument in the past that like this craziness with the Republicans like started way before Trump, right? Like all the way back to like even the Gore election, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And forward. Do you think that this like craziness will continue to go forward into the future? Because that would affect like what initiative that ultimately ends up getting supported here. Like these are the kinds of things we need to be considering when we're making this decision.
That what crazy that like everybody fighting over like redistricting and everything?
Well, just in general, like the rise of fascism, the like ridiculous extents to that Republicans have gone to fight dirty, like deny Supreme Court picks, like
just the way they abuse the law, basically.
I mean, I think like I said, I think if Democrats start fighting back on it, I don't think Republicans would be as excited to continue to fight on it because eventually they're going to realize they're going to have political prices they're going to have to pay. I think the only reason they do right now is just because they can get away with it without any consequences to their movement or their political program, basically. But I guess we'll see what the Democrats do when we get into power next, right?
2028, 2026 too, hopefully.
And Colorado's a great state to do this in because, I mean, you can see just by the issues, Trump is super unpopular here. I mean, Kamala won by a pretty solid margin, I think, even by historic margins. Is that right, Jack? Isn't that pretty good for Democrats?
So like the last three presidential elections are pretty much like the biggest margins that we've seen swing for Democrats in Colorado history, pretty much. So it's kind of, we're in a weird spot, right? Where we have that independent redistricting committee, but like the state's becoming increasingly bluer and increasingly, falling out of favor with Trump even more so than we already were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we've never been a red state, so.
Yeah, and California kind of led the way on this. So we've tried to mirror our effort on what they did, pretty much. If I can hop ahead here a little bit. All right, these are the results of the initiative in California. So it ended up passing with 2/3 support. But if you go back and look at like the early polling on this, it was basically flipped. Like 2/3 were in opposition because they liked the independent commission so much.
Mm-hmm.
But Newsom, he ran a good campaign in favor and was able to completely flip that around. So that just makes us think, like, if Democrats fight for this, that will win. So that would be really huge. And it would put Colorado on this map, hopefully cancel out Montana and Ohio.
Base.
So that would be really cool.
Yep, so pretty much this is just a map of how things stand. You can see like the number of seats that different places are picking up. Obviously, the darker states are the ones that have already been able to pass the initiative to redistrict. And then the lighter states are the ones who have something pending, right? We need as many Democratic states. Like if you're in a Democratic state, like, Washington, Oregon, I would encourage you, go out, make your own organization, do what we're doing here, because we're going to need as much help as we can possibly get. To try and check the power of Trump here and legitimize the will of the people here as his approval ratings continue to drop, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it's an important mission. Good job.
Yeah, and I just want to add, I don't know if you're familiar with the Supreme Court and they're potentially poised to overturn parts of the Voting Rights Act, right? And so that's a reason why the Democratic response is so significant as well, right? Because, we need to make sure that we, even past the 2026 midterms, we need to make sure that we're able to have a majority in 2028 and beyond so that we can't let the Republicans sort of keep doing what they're doing.
Cool. Okay. I don't know how much to respond to this, but I agree. Yes, it's good. Good times. Yeah.
Let's see. I'll skip ahead to some of our opposition here. So these are the guys trying to basically block the new maps. So they actually ended up passing their own initiative through the title board, which is also going to signature collection. And they're sort of framing their argument as some kind of like moral high ground, which is funny for Republicans for multiple reasons. But it would set these three conditions towards the bottom here, basically prohibiting any map that intentionally favors a political party. So they are making the opposite argument that Texas did to justify their move. Probably read a bit into that and some of their sincerity there.
Yeah, I think something similar happened with, I think with California, because of the dumb arguments that came from Bondi to the Texas AG and everything for, But they'll use any argument they can for whatever state,
So Stephen, when the Republicans try to take the moral high ground, right? In your experience, especially when talking to independents, what's the best way to sort of counter that argument and that perception?
I have no idea. That's a really broad question. I mean, for what you guys are doing, it's getting people to build a coalition of local people that push this through your, I guess, your smaller representatives or your state-level representatives, and then you run ads and go on media and talk about it,
For sure, for sure. And then I have another question, too. This is, like, kind of just maybe general. I know you, like, obviously you've done debates with people all over this political spectrum and stuff and had a lot of conversations. And like the our like take on the ground is that we think that we're gonna have to sway. There's gonna be a very close, like razor thin margin if this initiative passes or it doesn't pass. And so we're gonna have to try and swing some independents to do this. Do you have any like insight on how to convince like independent people and in general on such like a partisan issue? I think that's you've got to like it's a unique position to be in.
On such a partisan issue, you mean like with regards to
redistricting?
Redistricting?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have, it seems like you've flipped, or the support in your state has flipped quite a bit on it. So what was the messaging there, I guess? I mean, the way that, I just don't do these state level initiatives as much, so I don't know. Like, I would argue it in that the Republicans are doing it, so we kind of have to do it to counter them. Otherwise, we lose our national representation in the Congress. But citizens are generally very, like voters are very reluctant to support things that they perceive as like partisan attacks. So I don't know if that would even play well with the average voter. I'm just not sure.
Oh, at least luckily in Colorado, there's really strong negative sentiment towards Trump specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably going to be a pretty big focus of the campaigns to pass the new maps. It's just framing it as a way to fight back against Trump. But
yeah, that's good.
Redistrict.co is the acting as the social media arm of this, and the link should be dropping in DGG chat very soon. There are like 8,000 people watching the stream, right? There's no reason why they should not have 8,000 followers on Instagram and TikTok after this. So go follow them and go make sure that, for something like this, we're at the signature collection phase very soon, right? And then after that, it's about drumming up public support to vote for it on the ballot. So all of that is about, and Luca Dito, maybe you can speak more to this, but all of that is about engagement and getting the public aware of this and getting the public excited to work on this. I mean, this, not stress the importance, but, to stress the importance, this could be the difference between a majority in the House and not a majority in the House, right? Three seats is huge. And with the raise within majority, mm-hmm. like, this could be the deciding factor. So everyone in chat, go click some buttons.
Yeah, and especially if you live in Colorado and, you're really fired up over this issue, Colorado Draws the Line is looking for volunteers. They have a volunteer page up, I think, just yesterday. I believe that'll also be in the chat. So you could be a really big part of this, even take on a leadership role. I mean, it's going to be within their orgs. You have to work with them on that. But if you live out of state, or maybe you're just not comfortable kind of doing that kind of in-person activism, there's plenty of ways to jump into the social media game, spread the word that way. I think Digital Ground Game, they have everything broken down into regional squads, and they can definitely get you connected with people that'll basically act as a force multiplier, or maybe you can do the force multiplier for someone else. Lots of ways to get involved there.
Cool. Awesome.
And my thing is, there are millions of people out there actively right now, whether you're in like an immigrant community, whether you're like at the gas pump or like in the court of law, who are getting fucked over by this administration right now. And that means that there's millions of people out there who want to make a change, who want to see something happen. You can't rely on the other 999,000 people to do this. So get out there. Yeah. Stick it to Trump. Have the opportunity to maybe work with DGG here and say you to whatever administration members might be watching here. But just know that Stephen platformed us, so he's responsible for whatever I say. And yeah, so just follow our socials. Yeah, sign up to volunteer.
Well, do you guys have anything else for us?
Yeah, last thing, completely unrelated. Focus on the Colorado guys. But I'm dropping in DGG chat the signups for the signup sheet for the canvassing houses. Okay, so if you're in DGG chat and you want to sign up and do some cool shit this fall, yeah, fill out the form and we'll see where we're going in the next like week or so. And then we have our fundraiser on the 10th. But yeah, outside of that, I'm all done.
Great. Yeah. Cheers. Thanks for having us.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Be careful.
Appreciate it.